Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Healing School. I am Dr. Valeria Avery, and I praise God for your being with us today. We're going to be looking at what you have to know in order to receive your healing. The Bible has many, many promises concerning healing, and we want to just walk through the Bible. We want to zero in on those things that God has spoken to us. We want to zero in on those things that Jesus has purchased for us so that we are sure that it is God's will to heal. We are sure that Jesus has already completed the work. So let's pray first. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. We honor you, God, for this day. We honor you, God, for this opportunity to get into the Word, for this opportunity for you to teach us what you have said about your will to heal. And so, therefore, Father, we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. You will not hinder the Word from going forth, nor will you hinder the Word from being received. Father, in addition, I thank you for your anointing resting upon me that I might speak forth your word with a boldness. You know, I want to just say this also. I see we have some people that have joined us, and so therefore get your Bibles, get your notepads so that you can take down notes, and if you have questions you'd like to ask at a point in time after I minister, then we'll take those questions. If you have need of prayer, we will pray for you. We believe that the Word of God is true, and that when we put the Word of God on our situations, on our circumstance, that you will experience the hand of God in your life. Hallelujah. Well, we want to begin with our foundational scriptures for the Healing School, and we start with Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 5, and I'm going to read King James Version. It says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, notice that's past tense. And notice when we're talking about he was wounded, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus took upon his back 39 stripes that we might live, hallelujah, a good life, that we might live free of sickness and disease. He took them. If you have been attacked with sickness and disease, Jesus took them. Jesus redeemed us from sickness and disease. He redeemed us from that salvation package includes being healed of sickness and disease. It includes being redeemed from lack, poverty, financial disarmament, and debt. So we want to look at the Word of God. We want to see what God has to say about this. Let's look first at Mark 11:23. Well, we'll look at the latter part of 22, verse 22, and it says, "Have faith in God." In other words, have that God kind of faith. That God kind of faith is faith that comes from his word, when you use his word. It says here, verse 23 of Mark 11, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," what is that mountain? That's that problem, that situation, that the attack on your physical body, the attack where the doctor has told you you don't have long to live, the attack that says that you have to live with a sickness and disease the rest of your life. That's a lie. from the pit of hell. But let's look at what God has said about it. He says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." Speak to cancer and say, "Be thou removed from my body. You're illegal. You're trespassing. Be thou removed." It says here, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever you say." So now, what are you saying? What are you saying? See, so many people don't receive their healing. In fact, I'm going to give you just three reasons why some people, there are many more reasons, but three major reasons why some people don't receive their healing. They believe what the five senses tell them. They believe because they got a pain in their body, they see a lump grow because of what the doctor tells them, you know. They believe what the five senses tell them. See, faith has nothing to do with the five senses. What you see, hear, feel, smell, touch, it does not have anything to do with it. Faith is based entirely on what God's word says. And I just read to you one of our foundation scriptures, Isaiah 53:4-5. He says, "Surely, of a surety, Jesus bore your sickness and disease, and by his stripes, with his stripes, we are, if you are, healed." Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus took upon him all the sin and the sicknesses and the disease. And, of course, in our previous teaching, you know that sin and sickness and disease and all of the world's ills came into the earth system when Adam fell. That's why we are in the situation that we're, excuse me, that's why we're in the situation that we're in now, because of the fall of Adam. But God didn't scratch his head about that. He poured himself into an earthen vessel, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Amplified version of that says at the end of that verse, God himself, the Word was God himself. So God, and then it said down in verse 14 of the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," talking about Jesus. So then you have to get into your spirit and renew your mind with the Word of God. See, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a new spirit. You are a new spirit. And your spirit, man, we live from the inside out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You renew that mind to what the Word of God says. Now, he just told us in Mark 11, we read that verse 23, that you can have what you say. So you're going to have to pay attention to what you say. And then I was giving you also reasons why some people don't receive their healing. They don't believe that the Word has power. Listen, Jesus showed us the Word during the time he walked upon the earth, and it's recorded in our Bibles. The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil. You see, so Jesus is the Word, and you know the Word has power. And another reason why people don't receive their healing, they don't believe that God has already completed the work. And, of course, 2 Peter talks about Jesus completing the work, and we'll look at that later on. But let's Let us go back to, you know, our scripture in Mark 11:23. God has said to us, we can have what we say. So we need to be saying what God has said concerning our healing. Now, let's look here. Know who God is. These are principles. You've got to know who God is. We've got to know who God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see that we have a person holding in on us. Let's just kind of go there and pause just for a moment.
Holding in on us.
Good morning.
Go there and pause just for a moment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who am I speaking with?
Good morning.
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Good morning.
Hello. This is Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Vicky.
I'm so glad that you joined us.
Yes.
Vicky.
Vicky, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so glad that you joined us. I'm going to continue teaching, and then we'll pause after I go through teaching, and we'll have some questions, okay?
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So we're glad we have Vicky join us here. We're going to continue to talk concerning what we have to say and some things that we have to know in order to receive and walk in the healing that has been purchased for us. Now, first of all, know who God is. Now, we just quoted John 1:1 because God is the Word. God poured himself in an earthen vessel, that's Jesus. And so know that God is in his word and that God will see to it that his word comes to pass. The word of God is an incorruptible seed. It's an incorruptible seed. And so when you put the word of God on your situation, when you declare what God said about it over your body, over your family's body, then that word, when you receive that word, when you embrace that word will produce health in your body. And I always mention this minister that said, if you will take enough of the word of God long enough, the word of God will heal you, or will manifest the completed work of Jesus in your life. Let me pause here. Now, notice that you are not going to be healed. You are healed already. Jesus took that. Satan is trying to steal your healing from you because Jesus already completed the work. And as he puts symptoms and as he puts things in your body and you don't understand that he has no right there, then you, if you do not resist him, it will take over your body. So it behooves one who loves God, trusts God, to trust his word and say, no, devil, I will not take this package of hypertension. I will not take this package of cancer. I will not take this package of lupus. I will not take this package of heart problems. No, you have to say out of your mouth, I will not take it. It doesn't belong to me because Jesus already redeemed me from it. That's how you have to talk. So therefore, the principle number one, know who God is. Know who he is and understand that this word, see, God is the word because God poured himself into Jesus. He poured himself into an earthen vessel. Jesus was God incarnate. Hallelujah. He poured himself. And so he came down himself and redeemed us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the curse. Hallelujah. From sickness and disease, from lack and poverty and financial defilement and debt. He redeemed us from. Hallelujah. So know who God is. He is God the Father. Hallelujah. Maker of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his word will never fail. He said over in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth and shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Okay, number two, know what God will do and has done. Okay, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him or to God, for whosoever would come near to God must necessarily believe, and I'm reading Amplified, that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So know what God will do. He will reward those who speak like he speaks. He will reward those who put the word on their situation. He will reward you. And so, that's giving us instructions as to what we need to do. See, you need to say, by Jesus Christ, I am healed. You need to say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. So if you believe that God is, and if you believe that he is a rewarder, the Bible says, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, which means that you can't just read the word one time and let it go and expect to receive your healing. It means that you've got to stay in the word. Another one of our foundational scriptures that we didn't read comes from Proverbs 4:20-27, and I'll read that now. From the King James, it says, my son, attend unto my word, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life. Listen. The word of God is life and health to those, is life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. See, it doesn't matter what kind of sickness or disease that you have. It doesn't matter what kind of abnormality that you have. It doesn't matter that you were born with it. Hallelujah. It matters that you believe God's word, and his word will raise you up. His word will heal, cause manifesting of healing in your body. His word will purge out that Satan is trying to put on you. Notice he's trying to put it on you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief, these things, that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So then you see, if you go to this word, if you follow these instructions here, then you will see God rewarding you with your divine health. That's what Jesus purchased for you, divine health. Hallelujah. Divine health and divine wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a part of the salvation package. Guess what? If you are saved, if Jesus is your Lord, it belongs to you. But you got to find out what this word says. You can't just, you say the salvation prayer, receive it. It belongs to you. You're reaching in with the arm of faith. But if you just stay there and receive what the enemy tries to put on you, because he's going about seeking whom he can devour. Anybody that doesn't know healing belongs to them, he'll put sickness on your body. It's illegal, it's trespassing, but until you rise up and say what God said about it, you will suffer. And some people have even died because they did not know that healing belongs to them. And let me tell you this, the enemy cannot keep heal you if indeed you believe God's word. Hallelujah. So know what God will do. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And let's, okay, 2 Timothy 2 and 13, it says, if we are faithless, do not, and this is amplified, believe and are unsure of him, unsure of God, unsure of his word, he, God, remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, but he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. He will not deny his word when you put it on him, on your body, on your finances, on whatever the situation or the challenge is in your life. God will not deny his word. He will see to it. In fact, over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, it talks about the Holy Spirit. You said, I must go away so that I might send the Spirit, the Comforter, the one called alongside to help you. And he said he will represent me. Because, see, also in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it, presenting all that I am. Hallelujah. So here he has given you all sorts of tools to walk in your health and healing. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father, glory to God, I will do it. Note that he has already completed the work. Jesus said when he hung on the cross, it is finished. Jesus died and was buried, and he went to hell, and he whooped up on the devil. He says, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And so note that Jesus has already defeated the enemy. You have an enemy attacking your body that's defeated. But you must rise up and say, get out of my body, get out of my house, get off of my children, get off of my husband, get off of my wife, whatever the case may be, you see, and know that the work is done. To know that God will honor his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he cannot deny, God cannot deny himself. Himself is the word. Hallelujah. See, that's powerful right there. If you just take a hold to that one, you can whoop all up on the devil's head because you know that this is true. You know that God cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. But number three, these are things that you need to know in order to walk in healing. Hallelujah. This healing school is teaching you how to be a winner concerning health, concerning your physical body. It says the third principle is, and the third thing that you need to know what God has done, and we kind of talked about that when we said, you know, what God was. We're going to look at Corinthians 2 and 14, and that is, let's see, 2 Corinthians. Let's see. Let me flip over there. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, yeah, and 14. King James says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. The Amplified reads, but thanks to God in Christ always, always, always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Now, let me tell you why that is important. See, God only gets the praise when we walk in our victory. Because everywhere in the Bible that Jesus healed somebody, and it said that the people praised God and worshiped God. And so, therefore, we want to stay on it, want to believe that God has already done it. We have to believe in our heart. We have to know in our heart that God has done this, and we want to stand on his word so that we can demonstrate in this earth realm that God's word is true. Jesus said he's seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are made his footstool. Listen, the devil is an enemy of God. He wants to steal God's people. He wants the people to believe that God will not heal, that it is not God's will to heal. But it's not true. It's a lie. He's the father of lies. And so, therefore, Jesus wants us, God wants us to take his word and possess by faith in his word the healing that has already been purchased by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's already a done deal. What Jesus did has defeated the enemy, has deprived the enemy of the power to harm us. Hallelujah. 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 Let's look at Romans 8:3 and see what I'm talking about here. Let's flip over there to Romans 8:3. Romans 8:3 says King James, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Let's flip to 8:3. Here we go. For God, let's see, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, this is what God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin that would try to put sickness and disease on you. He condemned sin in the flesh. So therefore, sin that Adam committed that was passed on to every man born in earth, God condemned that sin. And for us to receive Jesus as our Lord, then we can walk free of that power of sin. Let's read how it reads in the Amplified. It says, God has done what the law could not do. His power, the law's power being weakened by the flesh, man could not keep those laws that God gave to Moses, though it was a means for helping man until Jesus came on the scene. The priest had to make atonement for himself as well as the people every year. It was not a completed work. See, but when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus offering himself as the sacrifice, hallelujah, completed the work. But let's read on again, Romans 8:3. For God has done what the law could not do in its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son, God sending his own son in the guise or in the disguise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. See, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And we were all born in sin, headed for death. But God, hallelujah, through Jesus, glory to God, this is what he did. God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it. He overcame it. He deprived it of its power over all who accept the sacrifice. Who is the sacrifice? Jesus. Hallelujah. When you accept Jesus, oh, glory to God, then God has subdued sin in the flesh. He subdued sickness and disease in the flesh. He subdued lack and poverty and financial defilement in the flesh. He subdued sickness, disease, abnormalities, infirmities, calamities, and accidents. He subdued those things in the flesh so that we could live free from it. Hallelujah. Jesus completed that work. He's already done it. He's seated at the right hand of the Father until we make his enemies his footstool. Hallelujah. That's powerful. So again, we've given you three principles. Know who God is. He is the Word. We said, know what God will do. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then know what God has done. God has deprived. He's condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it. He overcame it. He deprived it of its power over all of us, I'll say it like this, over whosoever will receive the sacrifice. Isn't that good news? This is what you call good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord God. Praise the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent forth his word and healed them and rescued them from the pit and destruction. Again, this is under know what God will do. You got to know that God has done this. You got to know that God has defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And know that we are an heir according to the promise. We are heirs to the blessing of Abraham, and health and healing is a part of the blessing. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13-14 and verse 29. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, number four, you need to know, see, if you're going to walk in this healing that has been purchased for you, you have to understand God's ways of doing things. Hallelujah. His ways of doing things. And let's look at Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6. Let's flip over to Romans 6. Hallelujah. Just a few pages back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't this good news? Isn't this outstanding? Thank you, Lord. God loved us so much, he did these things through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's read here. Let's just start at verse 1. What shall we say to this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, his favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. See, here it is. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and he buries that old spirit and places within us a new spirit. We said it before, we are new beings. Hallelujah. We're new beings. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed, glory to God. So it says, certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Now, here it is. Our spirit is new, and we are speaking spirit just like God. We are connected to God. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, the third person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. But our mind and our bodies, we have to put them in check, so to speak. And the Bible tells us we are to renew our minds, our solical realm, day by day. Our soul is composed of our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. Hallelujah. And that's the arena where Satan comes to attack us, to tell you that you don't have your healing, to tell you that you're going to die, that tells you you cannot live. But I am telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I sent my word and I healed and delivered you from destruction. Sickness and disease is a destruction. And so God has said he has delivered us. So therefore, you have to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to yield to sin. I'm not going to declare sin. I'm not going to declare that I am sick. I'm not going to say that every year I get the flu. No, and no, and no. I will live and not die. I'll live free from sickness and disease because that's what Jesus purchased for me. Let's read on. Again, verse 3 says, are you ignorant to the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him, verse 4 of Romans 6. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. Listen, when you are born again, you have entered into this new life. You're a new being, free from that old spirit, that old sinful spirit that was headed for death. But we were raised to newness of life. We were raised to a new life in Christ, free of sickness, free of disease. See, that's what Jesus purchased. That's the completed work of Jesus. He purchased it with his shed blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read on. It says here, again, let's read verse 4 again. We were buried, therefore, with him, with Jesus, by the baptism into death. That's when we received Jesus. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, the Holy Spirit, when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and he buries that old man, and then places a new spirit. So raising us up with the glorious power of the Holy Spirit of God, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. We are to live and behave in new life, or in this kingdom life, in this kingdom rule. For the Bible does say, when we're born again, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're, even though we are in this earth, hallelujah, we are not of it. We're in the world. We live here, but we are not of the world. Glory to God. We rule and reign according to the dictates of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But see, and understand this, as you operate according to the kingdom of God rule, the word of God gives supersedes the attack of the flesh. So when you put the word of God on your body, if your body's been attacked, on your child's body, they've been attacked, whoever's been attacking, you are praying for them. You put the word on it, that word supersedes that cancer. Those cancer cells have to die. You curse at the root. You curse the seed of cancer because the enemy wants to tell you you got cancer. Then he wants to send those cancer seeds throughout your body. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to rise up and say, devil, you take your packets of cancer and all the seeds and cast them into the sea in the name of Jesus. You get out of my body. Get out of of my family's body. In the name of Jesus, I will live and not die and declare what God has done, because I receive the completed work of Jesus. I receive the fact that I am redeemed from cancer. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from whatever the attack is. You know, the enemy comes up with new names every day, but the Bible says whatever new name comes up, it's under the blood. Jesus said that you are redeemed from those sicknesses written in the book as well as those that are to come. So if they come up with a new name or something rare, it doesn't matter. Jesus already redeemed us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's read on. I'm excited about this new life. Hallelujah. I'm excited about living free. Hallelujah. I'm excited. And I want you to be excited also. Because, see, as you're learning, as you're attending this healing school, you're learning what has been done. And you're learning, if you know what God has done for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can live above, hallelujah, the situations and circumstances of life. Because God deprived the enemy of the power to harm you and me, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're going to live in this newness of life, hallelujah. I choose. See, you got to make a decision now. We're people of choice to choose to live in this newness of life, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that has been named. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For if we have become one with him, one with Jesus, one with the Lord, by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life, hallelujah, live for God. Hallelujah. A new life, a new victorious life, a new life, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6, we know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him. So our old self, all those ugly things that we did in the past or whatever, nailed to the cross. You're forgiven. God don't even remember it anymore. It was nailed to the cross in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective for evil. Sickness is evil. He did this. Look. If you take this one verse here, we know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross. See, your old self was subject to sickness and disease because you weren't born again. However, Jesus had already paid the price. But now that you received the sacrifice, who is Jesus, it says this, our body, see, it's in our bodies that the enemy tries to put sickness and disease. But notice this, our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with Jesus in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves to sin or slaves to sickness and disease. Sometimes the doctor will tell you, you got to take this medicine all the rest of your life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Some of those medicines cause you to be sick. But and so you're not bound, hallelujah. You are free. You are healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are free. You are healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just excited about that. I'm just excited about that. I'm going to read it one more time. We know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him, with Jesus, in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. In verse 7, I love this also, it says, for when a man dies, when you nailed to your old man was nailed to the cross, when a new man was put on the inside of you to live, he is free. You are loose. You are delivered from the power of sin among men. In this life, we are free. We are loose. I love the way verse 7 of Romans 6 Amplified says, for when a man dies, he is free. He is loose. He is delivered from the power of sin among men. We're talking about in this life, not just when we get to heaven. Of course, there's no sickness and disease in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those things, none of that evil is going to be permitted there. And so he's talking about here and now. You are loose. You are free here and now. But you have to know that. You have to see that in the Bible. You have to receive what God has said. And you have to declare what God has said. Verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Because we know that Christ, the anointed one, being once raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relationship to it once for all. And the life that he lived, he is living to God in unbroken fellowship, hallelujah, with him. That's where Adam was before he sinned. He was in unbroken fellowship with God. They fellowship, there was no break in it. But when he sinned, he was severed. He was cut off, hallelujah, from God. And he gave this world system over to Satan because he obeyed him. He made him Lord of this earth system, hallelujah. But that's coming to an end. Verse 11. Even so, consider yourself also dead to sin and your relationship broken. Notice, because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come in to us on the inside of us. Hallelujah. He is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's the same Spirit that quickened his body. It's the same Spirit is in resident in you and me because we have received Jesus. The Bible says he will quicken and make alive and restore our mortal body. Hallelujah. 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 So verse 11 again, even so consider yourself, you and me, dead to sin and your relationship to it broken. But alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's powerful. This new life in Christ with unbroken fellowship with God Almighty through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's powerful. That in itself, hallelujah, will deliver our bodies from sickness and disease if we really, really zero in on that. We're learning God's ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So then, let's summarize, you know, what we have said. So how are we going to do this? You know, we're born again, and when the enemy comes to attack us with a sickness and disease or an abnormality or anything that is not of God, hallelujah, what do we do first? We go to the Word and find the promise on it. And we need to understand what Hebrews 11:6 says. Hallelujah. But with our faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder. God is not using sickness and disease to teach you something. So many people have said that erroneously, that God is putting this sickness on a person to teach them something. Or this sickness, you know, it is a witness. Well, no, and no, and no. God corrects his people with his word. He chastens us with his word, not with sickness and disease. How many of you that are parents would put sickness and disease on your child to teach them something? How many of you people would see your child going, you know, a toddler going near a hot stove would allow him to continue to go and put his hand on that hot stove to teach him something? No. You're going to stop him. You're going to say hot, hot, you know. But you're not going to let him go ahead and put his hands on there. So how much more will your Heavenly Father do the same for you? He loves us. He poured himself into an earthen vessel. He became a sacrifice for us. He took on all the sins and sicknesses of the world, even for those people who never received Jesus. He took them. Hallelujah. He took the sin and the sickness, but they never would walk in it because they would never receive Jesus. Have mercy. God loved us when we were sinners. He loved us so much that he would pour himself into an earthen vessel. He would lay aside his deity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And yield himself to be the sacrifice for us so that we can have life in this body, so that we can live and not die. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life is free of sickness and disease. Abundant life is free of lack, poverty, financial empowerment, and debt. Abundant life is free of abnormalities. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And God has said, I have sent my word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Won't you receive the completed work of Jesus? Won't you receive Jesus? Won't you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's actually the starting point, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the starting point of your being in position to receive your healing. Let's just pray that prayer. If you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I turn from my past, and I turn to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord and the Savior of my life. Hallelujah. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins and was raised from the dead, that I might have abundant life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Now, there is an additional experience. You are saved now if you send that from your heart. But there is an additional experience, and that is being filled with the power of God. Jesus told his disciples, he died and was raised from the dead, and he came and talked to his disciples. He said, I want you to stay there until you endued with power from on high. And so all of them were in the upper room, we know the story, where they were waiting for Jesus to send the Spirit of the living God. And so they were endued with power. They were born again because they received Jesus as their Lord after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But now he told them to go there to the upper room and stay there until they were endued with power. And so the 120 of his disciples were there waiting for him to send the Spirit of God. And they were, on the day of Pentecost, they were endued with power from on high. And now you don't have to wait. He's here. He's here now. But you do have to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. So pray that prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill me to overflowing with your mighty Holy Spirit, with your power, God. Hallelujah. That I might be that witness for you. That I might go out and demonstrate your power, your work in the earth today. Fill me to overflowing with your mighty Spirit. And I do believe, just as they did in the upper room, I will utter tongues as the Spirit of God gives me the utterance. This is your prayer language that we are talking about. See, every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's so many times you don't know what to pray or how to pray, but the Spirit of God knows. And he knows what you need to pray. And the Bible tells us we're speaking a pure prayer to God when we pray in the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us praying in the Spirit helps our infirmities. So you need to pray in the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to work on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You want to change and rearrange some things. Hallelujah. Submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us over in the Gospel of John that he represents Jesus. And he, let's just turn over there and read that. We're coming to an end here. Let's turn over to John, the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. In let's read a verse in chapter 14 and a verse in chapter 16. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is talking, misread in my Bible. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's read it in the Amplified. It says, but the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby. The Holy Spirit is all of those things. He's all of those adjectives. Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, Jesus said. To represent me, Jesus said. And act on my behalf. He's there to help us. He's there to quicken and make alive our mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall, will remind you of bring to your remembrance everything I told you. And let's read in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Let's read that same verse in the Amplified. It says, for when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that he has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Notice, he's going to do just like Jesus did. Jesus says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say. So he is our helper. The Holy Spirit, this is his dispensation. And so we need to communicate with the Spirit of God. We need to tune in, because he's not going to talk of himself. He's going to tell you what God Almighty has to say about the situation. And so we need to be obedient to him. The Bible says we hear our Father's voice, and a stranger we will not follow. He's going to say you are healed, because God says you're healed. He's going to say he sent his word and healed you. So you get up, speak to your body. See, we have a part to play. We have to say what God says. We have to say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. We have to say, I shall not die but live, and declare the works of Almighty God. We have to say with our mouth, with long life does God satisfy me and show me his salvation. Hallelujah. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come down thy dwelling. That's what God has said about us. And so we have to say the same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're about out of time now. And you have to, in summarizing, okay, we've already said you have to go to the Word and find the promises of God. You have to believe you receive when you pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to stay away from fear. The enemy will try to bring fear on you by a pain, or, you know, hearing somebody say something or seeing something. But we reject fear. There's no fear in God. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we trust God. We trust in his goodness. We trust in his power. We trust in his wisdom. Hallelujah. We believe God and we reject. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must walk in love. See, the Bible says over in Mark 11, after he told us we can have what we say, then he told us what things soever you desire when you pray. That's verse 24 there. But then verse 25 and 26, it says, and when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. So the love walk is important. See, faith works by love. And you cannot hate somebody and think that you're going to be rewarded by God. No, no. You stepped out from under the umbrella of God, and you have stepped over in the area where the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy. You must walk in love. You must forgive. Even though terrible things may have been done to you, you have to forgive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then you must confess the word of God. And so until manifestation occurs, and you have to demonstrate confidence in God. The word of God says over in 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him, that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if sent, we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the request made of him. Note, you must turn your back to all symptoms, report do not line up with the word of God and respond according to the report of the word of God, hallelujah, then you are assured of your healing. You are assured of your miracle. You are assured. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I'm so glad you joined us today, and I'm so happy that we were able to share this word. It's alive. God, I just thank you as I pray for you before we go off the air. Father, I thank you that your word has gone deep within our heart, and your word will bring forth fruit, honor, and to your glory. In Jesus' name. Have a good day. We'll see you next Tuesday.